Ezekiel this morning. We notice in chapter 1, Ezekiel was blasted by a vision of God, of the chariot of God, what he had seen, the four living cherubim, and he describing the best he could with the inadequacies of the human language and our experience of life. And yet, he was blown away. At the end of chapter 1, the Bible says, as a result of what he's seen, God showed him a vision. He fell on his face. He's on his face. Now, chapter 2 and 3, chapter 1, he seen a vision. Chapter 2 and 3, he hears as God speaks to him. And God calls him, commissions him, changes him in an instant, being trained and raised as a priest. Now he's commissioned to be a prophet. You're going to speak my words, Ezekiel. As he prepares him and, tells him what to expect, doesn't give him some kind of, misaligned false expectations, but tells him like it is. But he hears God's voice. He's commissioned as a prophet. Then he's given instruction what to do and what to expect. God calls. God prepares. He called Ezekiel, and he prepares Ezekiel. In chapter 2, verse 3, he mentions, I'm sending you. In chapter 2, verse 4, he repeats that phrase, I'm sending you. He initiates this call. It's not like, he's seen this glorious vision, and it was a glorious vision. Man, now I'm going to go be a prophet. It wasn't like that. It was as if God showed him a vision on purpose for a reason. He fell on his face being overwhelmed, took his breath away, and then God spoke to him and called him. Okay, Ezekiel, I got a post for you to fill. As he does for all of us, he has a plan for all our lives and what he wants us to do. God initiates. He's preparing Ezekiel in this preparation, what to do. Look in verse 10, chapter 3. Moreover, he said to me, Son of man, receive into your heart all my words that I speak to you, and hear with your ears. The necessity of hearing him. But notice he says, I'm going to speak to you, hear all my words, as he's preparing him, as the preparation process before he sends him. Then, if you hear all my words in verse 10, notice in verse 11, and go. Hear all my words in the preparation process before he sent. To know him. To hear him. And again, he repeats this only in more detail. Look in chapter 3, verse 1. Moreover, he said to me, Son of man, eat what you find. Eat this scroll and go speak to the house of Israel. So I opened my mouth and he caused me to eat the scroll. And he said to me, Son of man, feed your belly and fill your stomach with this scroll that I give you. So I ate, and it was in my mouth like honey and sweetness. Eat. Don't just chew. Don't treat. He said he's seen a scroll. And it was written on the back and the front at the end of chapter 2. And as God spoke to him, scrolls are pretty big, they could be up to 24 inches, huge parchments. Ezekiel, I hope you're hungry. Eat and let it fill your belly. Don't just chew it and spit it out like a piece of gum. But eat my word. Assimilate it. Let it become a part of you. Interesting, because then in verse 4, he tells him, go. Eat and go. Hear. Receive all my words, and then go. Eat, assimilate. Let it be part of your belly, a part of you. I heard a story reminded me of buddy the other day. And all the kids are the same, you know, usually, those that like ketchup. You know, you get the French fries and you want to share some fries with the children. But they get to a certain age and all they want to do is dip in the ketchup and lick the ketchup off. You know, it's like double dipping, triple dip, quadruple dipping. That's enough of that. But that's all they want to do is they want to taste the sweetness. They don't want to bite in. They don't want to, you know, eat that French fry. And yet that's what he's telling Ezekiel. Eat the scroll. Let it be a part of you. Assimilate it. Be one with it. We, you know, it's not always appetizing, all of his words. There's a lot in the Bible. It's difficult, hard chew. Sometimes it's really a hard chew, a lot of gristle. And yet, he says, receive all my words. Notice in verse 10, verse 10, chapter 2, that he spread it before me, and there was writing on the inside and on the outside, and written on it were lamentations, mournings, and woe. It's not all appetizing. Lamentations, mournings, and woe. Sadness, grief, woe, judgments, part of his word. Well, as far as I know, the judgment didn't happen yesterday on the 21st of May. Yeah, judgment's coming. And we're to eat and understand the truth about his judgment and go and speak the truth about his judgment. I was in line the other day waiting for a load at Delta Airlines, right at Metro Airport. Two people in front of me, and they were complaining about, and so was I, you know, how long it took for us to get loaded. But they just came in for a quick pickup. The guy in front of the line, he was there for some birds, you know, some tropical birds. The guy in front of me, some tropical fish. It's kind of interesting. And me, I was, you know, just regular freight, auto parts. But I started talking to the guy. I said, hey, you prepared for Judgment Day? He said, yeah, I've been prepared, man. And he says, the scientists have been talking about it for some time. A solar flare is going to come and lick us up, man. And yet judgment is coming. And the truth in Scripture about judgment. And he said, you know, there's woes. As he stretched out the parchment, he looked on it, and there's woes and griefs and lamentations and sorrows. Doesn't seem appetizing, but eat it up, Ezekiel. Let it become part of you and tell it like it is. The day before yesterday, we went to a restaurant, and this restaurant used to be so smoky. It's where all the smokers used to hang out. And you go in there, it's like a fog in there. It was terrible. And yet, now that, you know, smoking's outlawed, we went in there the other day, and now they're not trying to kill you with smoke, they're trying to kill you with grease. And, you know, the waitress was very positive, you know. What sounds good? What do you recommend? Oh, everything's delicious. How about a hamburger? Oh, it's fresh, it's great. Everything was so positive. Roseanne said, how about them zucchini sticks? Oh, they are very good. She repeated it three times. They are very good, they are very good. And she was really positive about everything. You know, it's like taking some Dale Carnegie course. You know, everything's so positive. And you want to win friends and influence people by being positive. But it's not all positive. I mean, it's positive for us. But the truth is, you know, she failed to mention there was a teaspoon of grease in every one of them zucchini sticks. I'm serious. It was good, yeah, it was delicious, but unhealthy. But he told Ezekiel to first assimilate, to eat the roll, eat the scroll. Let it become part of you. Let it sink down into your belly. One time Jesus said, let it sink down into your ears, into your heart. Then go. Go to the captives and tell them the truth. All my word. Mourning and woe and lamentations. In verse 8 in chapter 2, he said to Ezekiel, You know, but you, son of man, don't be disobedient. Don't be rebellious. What I say to you, don't be rebellious like the rebellious house. Open your mouth and eat what I give you. You know, resistance is part of our nature. Rebellion is in the old man's nature. Yet he says, you know, be different. Accept. Receive my word. All of it. Eat it up. Don't disobey. And if you don't disobey, look in the next chapter. In verse 3. At the end of verse 3, it says, so I ate, and it was in my mouth like honey and sweetness. Yeah, it's judgment and woe. It's not all positive. There's a lot of negative in the Scripture. And yet, when I obeyed and I ate according to what God said, it was good. It wasn't written good. It was woe, grief, sadness, mourning, lamentations. But don't be rebellious. Don't be disobedient. Just scarf it all up and let it be a part of you. Assimilate it. So he tells them as he's preparing him, and Ezekiel obeys. As a result, it's sweet. Man, this is good. God's word is good. That's what David said in the Psalms. Taste and see that the Lord is good. He is good to those who obey him. He's preparing Ezekiel. He's calling him and commissioning him to be a prophet. He's preparing him. Hear, receive my words, all my words. Eat it, let it become part of you. Let it go down into your belly. But he also tells him what to expect. True expectation. Look in verse 6, chapter 2. See, and you, son of man, do not be afraid of them, nor be afraid of their words. Though briars and thorns are with you, and you dwell among scorpions, do not be afraid of their words or dismayed by their looks, though they are a rebellious lot. You know, he's telling them it's going to be painful. Briars and thorns and prickers and stickers and scorpions and stinging and poison and bites and insect bites. We used to play football in a field in Florida, you know, pick up game in the neighborhood, and it was filled with these little sand spurs. You know, and they'd catch you and they'd prick you. It's filled with, you know, or we used to play soccer in the house we rented in Central Florida, and it was filled with fire ants. And they would bite you and sting you. He's telling him, you know, what to expect. It ain't going to be carefree. There's going to be pain involved. And they're going to, you know, don't look at their faces. They're going to be a rebellious lot. He's giving him a true, you know, expectation, what he'd be up against. You know, he doesn't color it. He tells it like it is. Like, the old slogan for, you know, join the Navy and see the world. He's not trying to, you know, make it glamorous. Hey, man, join the ministry and it's going to be painful. It's going to hurt. And it's going to be tough as he goes on. He sent to his own people in verse 5 and 6. He says that, you know, I'm not going to send you to a foreign land like a missionary that speak a foreign language. You know, like you watch on television, some of these guys, you know, they got the Australian accent or Scottish accents. There's almost like there's a winsome freebie in someone that's got like a colorful accent from another nation. Yeah, you know, you got a really interesting, it's almost like, you know, you get points for that. Go to another nation, you got your accent, you're an American. They come here with their accent. It's attractive. But he says, it's not going to be like that with you, Ezekiel. I'm not going to send you as a missionary. You know, you're not going to be so attractive. I'm going to send you to your own people. So he tells them like it is. The results in verse 5, chapter 2, as for them, whether they hear or whether they refuse, for they are a rebellious house. He said, don't focus on the results. It's not, you know, part of the ministry isn't the results. That's God's business. One waters, one plants, one waters. God gives the increase. Whether they believe or don't, the responsibility is to share the truth like it is. But he tells them, you know, they may believe, they may not. Whether they hear, whether they not, they don't. In verse 11, chapter 3, he says to the same thing. And he says, and go and get to the captives, the children of your people, and speak to them and tell them, thus says the Lord, whether they hear or whether they refuse. The objective isn't the results. The objective is to share the truth, to communicate the truth as he prepares him to send him. You know, and it's true, like, we can't lead a, you know, or you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. And we're called to share the truth of the gospel, share the gospel, share the truth of Jesus Christ, share the Bible, all his words. But you can't make the horse drink. I remember I forget his name, he used to come to the men's study, he says, yeah, but you can make him thirsty if you put a salt block out there. Can't make him drink. Don't focus on the results, Ezekiel. He goes on preparing him. You know, eat my word, all my word, let it become a part of you. The responsibility of his calling. In verse 17, chapter 3, he tells him that he's going to be a watchman. Son of man, that's Ben-Adam. Ben-Adam, son of man, a phrase that's repeated several, many times. 80, 90 times or something in the book of Ezekiel. Ben-Adam. I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. Therefore, hear a word from my mouth and give them warning from me. He's the responsibility of the call to share as a watchman. Now, a watchman in those days, you know, they didn't have surveillance, you know, satellite cameras, monitoring systems. They had a wall without windows around the city, and a watchman had to get up on top of the wall and stay alert, and keep his eye out for danger. And if danger was on the approach, he was to warn the people. You're going to be a watchman, Ezekiel, part of your call. You get on the wall, you're going to warn the people. Then he went on to describe it's a spiritual lookout office, watchman. He said that you're to tell the people not to live in sin. And if you tell them not to live in sin and they continue to live in sin, they're going to die. But he says, if you tell a righteous man not to live in sin, he turns from his sin, he will live. As he gives him, you know, commissioning him to be a prophet, sharing his words as a watchman, telling him the message, turn from sin. Turn to God. And the responsibility of telling them, in verse 20, chapter 3, he says, and when a righteous man turns from his righteousness and commits iniquity, I lay a stumbling block before him, he shall die because you did not give him warning. You have to warn him, Ezekiel. You have to accomplish, fulfill the post to which you're called. It's your responsibility. You're responsible for it. As he is to share the truth of God's word that he ate, he shall die in his sins. If someone doesn't, you know, receive the warning and he lives in sin, he goes on to say, his blood will be on your hands, Ezekiel. The responsibility, the requirement of sharing the truth of the word as a watchman. In 21, he says, but if they turn from their sin, they'll live. You know, in some ways, we are called to be a watchman in our circulation. There may be someone in our life or in our circulation that no one else can reach. Not impossibility factor, but that God's put them within our part of the wall, part of the city, part of our friends or sphere of influence. And to share, to let them know the truth of Jesus and this salvation that only he can bring, that he's the only way. the rebellion. He said, you know, telling him like it is, what he will face, what to expect. He tells him that he's going to face a rebellious lot. He says that their fathers have transgressed me, Ezekiel. A rebellious lot that's impudent and stubborn. Impudent is, it means a cruel, hard, or the actual literal definition is strong of forehead. They're hard-headed. They're stubborn. They're obstinate. They're hard-headed. It can be hard to reach. It's interesting because as he's preparing Ezekiel, he says, but you know what, Ezekiel? I'm going to make your head harder. He said, I'm going to make your forehead harder. When you butt-head them guys, you're not going to feel it. How to reach them? Preparing, equipping the proper one to share. They're going to be a rebellious lot. Hard-headed, stubborn, stiff-hearted, strong, obstinate. The group he's facing, the Bible says that after God spoke to him, then he went away and he was upset. He's angry because now, from the vision and the spiritual mountaintop experience, now he's got to go face these people, enter the ministry. But the rebellion of those that he's going to face, God tells them without coloring the truth of what he's going to face. Overcoming rebellion. He told Ezekiel, don't be like them. Don't be rebellious. That's what he's telling us. Don't be rebellious. And as the first point in his message to communicate to Ezekiel, not to be disobedient and rebellious was to hear my word. Listen, you don't just dip the French fry in the ketchup. Don't lick the ketchup off. Eat it. Assimilate it. Let it become a part of you. To hear, overcoming rebellion. To speak. It's not only enough to hear his word. He's preparing him to go. I'm sending you. I'm sending you. Go to the captives, he said. Among the briars, among the scorpion, among the curse, and speak my words, share my truth. For if someone listens and repents and turns to the truth, to me, they'll live. But if they don't, they're going to die in their sin. But share. Overcoming rebellion is to hear, it's to speak. Interesting, the first, before God even spoke to him, after he's seen the vision, he's on his face, and God spoke to Ezekiel. Ezekiel, stand up. That's the first point. That's the first requirement. We're to stand up. We're to, you know, present ourselves to him as being alive from the dead. To stand, to make a stand. He tells him to stand, overcoming rebellion, to hear, to speak, to eat. To stand. And then what's absolutely necessary. Look in verse 2, chapter 2. Then the Spirit entered me. Can't pass that off. That's the whole key. Receiving him. Receiving his word, yes. Hearing him, yes. Eating his word, yes. But receiving his Spirit, absolutely. And it's interesting because he said, stand up, Ezekiel. Then the Spirit entered me and lifted me up. He empowers us to obey. He gives us the strength to stand. The Spirit entered me. Verse 2. Then I stood upright. Upright. Righteous man. In verse 12, chapter 3, another mention of the Spirit. So then the Spirit lifted me up, and I heard behind me a great thunderous voice. Lifted me up. He empowers us. He lifts us up, encourages us. It's interesting because when he's seen the vision of the chariot of God, he describes the cherubim. And in the description of the cherubim, he says, you know, that their wings touch. It was almost like choreography was absolute perfect. There was a oneness of these angelic beings around the throne of God. And then he says, and as far as their movement, he says, and then where the Spirit went, they went. They are one with the Spirit, in tune with the Spirit. Not only the choreography and how they moved, but the sensitivity of what he wanted, what he wants, where he wants to go, what he wants to say. The oneness of movement with the Spirit. He lifted me up. In verse 14, chapter 3, he says, he lifted me up and took me away. That's what he does. He directs us. He not only encourages us, empowers us, you know, lifts us up to stand upright, but he takes us away. He guides us, Jesus said. When the Holy Spirit comes, he will lead you. He will guide you into all truth. He's the reason why we're here. He's the reason why we eat the Word, assimilate the Word. He lifted me up and took me away. He directs and guides. That verse in chapter 1 of the vision, of the movement, in verse 20, chapter 1, it says, wherever the Spirit wanted to go, they went. The synchronized movement of the cherubim and the oneness of movement. Filled with His Spirit, an absolute necessity to be empowered by Him, to be in tune with Him, to be one with Him, to hear Him. Hear my words, Ezekiel. We can't hear. Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor is it entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love Him. But the Spirit has revealed them to us. He reveals them to us. The necessity of Him being in us, directing us, opening our eyes, empowering us, energizing us. Stand up. And then the Spirit lifted me up. Encouraging us. He lifted me up. Directing us. We're to hear, to eat, and to go. To be obedient. Don't be like the rebellious ones. You know, they're going to not listen. Stubborn, stiff-necked, rebellious lot. Their fathers transgressed me. Don't be like them. Listen, hear, be flexible. Have a soft heart. Be open. Listen. Know before you go. There's a principle here. You know, he's seen the vision of God. God showed him. Then he ate his word. He knows him. We're to know him. We're to go and share what? We're to share the truth about him. But we got to know the truth about him before we share it. Know before you go. Sees, hears, and share. Our Calvary Chapel, you know, vision. To hear, or to teach, eat, and reach. I'm always trying to get some kind of, you know, phrase we can remember. Teach, each, and reach. Now, each stands for eat. We're to eat and then reach out. Share. That's what we're required to do. Go and preach the gospel, Jesus says. All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go and teach all nations, baptizing them, making disciples. To share, eat, teach, eat, reach. Interesting. He said, don't worry about the results, but they will know that a prophet was among them. Remember reading that? In other words, you're going to share, you know, don't look at their faces. They're going to be stubborn. They're not even going to listen. They're not going to be responsive. But they're going to know. In our hearts, we bear witness. Everybody does. I believe that. I believe we share the gospel. Someone could be so out of tune and pride cut off in darkness and sin, don't want to hear it, and yet bearing witness. They will know. One of the key phrases in Ezekiel is over and over again, God trying to shape the nation through the captivity, that they will know that I am God. And they do. When they come back to Israel, they're taught, they learn their lesson. But they will know a prophet was among them. Don't worry about the results. He'll take care of what he wants to do. We're just to share the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth. So help us, God. Let's stand. And if we do, and we're obedient, we eat, it's sweet, it's good. God's plan is good. God's ways are good. Even though he's talking about judgment to come, it's good. For God's wrath isn't appointed unto his children. It's sweet. Taste and see the Lord is good. His plan is good. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you for your word and the record and account of Ezekiel's calling and commission as this book begins, and how you've called him, Lord, to the office of a prophet. And Lord, as you speak to us in our hearts and teach us about ourselves, about you, about your plan for us, help us, Lord, not be disobedient and not be rebellious, but be open. Let us eat, Lord, all your words, to receive all your words and eat and go and speak, hear and speak. Lord, we turn to you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for all your word, Lord, the Old Testament and the New. And we ask that you have your way among us, Lord. We do ask, Lord, that you fill us with your Spirit to empower and encourage us, lift us up, to direct our lives, equipping us, guiding and leading. We need you, Lord. We're reliant upon you, your plan. Cause us, Lord, to not resist, but to submit. We praise you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. May the Lord be with you and cover you with his hand, and may we be in tune with his word and his plan for us. May we hear his words speak to our heart personally, each one of us, an individual plan for all of our lives. Lord, help us hear and understand and be led by you, empowered and encouraged, lifts us up upright, hands us a robe of righteousness to walk in his way according to his plan. In Jesus' name, amen.